Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Richard Rossi Live. Welcome to Richard Rossi Live. We have been talking about Champ, the sea monster of Lake Champlain. We did a show a week or so ago with Scott Martis, who's been on the trail researching it. I'm honored today to have one of the most popular guests in the field of cryptozoology, my good friend Carl Crewe, who is the impresario of the coolest club in L.A., CIA. And it's featured in our film Canaan Land, as is Carl. You'll see Carl taking tickets in the film. And Carl's great uncle, Jerry Crewe, the one that coined the name Bigfoot for Bigfoot. He was one of the most famous people on the trail, Bigfoot. And we'll talk about cryptozoology and specifically talk a little bit about Champ, who has been called America's Loch Ness, although my dear friends, the Tabor family in Crown Point, Kelly Tabor told me that I need to correct that and say that Nessie is Scotland's champ. So let's say it that way instead and give Champ his due. So he's Champ's a legend. He's a celebrity. He's even the subject of many songs. And this is a little hint at a folk song of Champ. And I'll let you listen to a moment, and we'll be back with Carl Crewe.
If you're ever in Upper New York State, whether to live or to camp, if you watch carefully, perhaps you may see that handsome lake monster called Champ. Here's to our Lake Champlain monster, the king of the deep and the damp. We'll sing one more chorus to our dinosaurus, that lovable creature named Champ. We see him come out in the springtime, as soon as the lake is unfroze. He gives us a scare, popping up here and there after his long winter doze. Here's to our Lake Champlain monster, the king of the deep and the dam. We'll sing one more chorus to our dinosaur, that lovable creature named Champ. Now Champ is a famous attraction, oh yes, sure is a tourist delight. They come up in droves to examine our coves and take pictures by day and by night.
Welcome back.
Hey, Chief, you know there's two things in this world I hate to miss. Lakers game and Rich Rossi Live. You've got to be cuckoo to miss this show. You know what I mean, pal? Hey, wait till you get a load of what Rich is going to talk about today.
Well, today we're talking about cryptozoology, Champ, the Lake Champlain monster. And my dear friend Carl Crewe has done many interviews in this realm of different legends. And his great uncle, as I said, Jerry Crewe, named Bigfoot. Welcome to the show, Carl Crewe. You're live with us now.
Hey, how you doing? Good to be on.
I'm happy you're here today. And so tell us about your uncle, how he ended up being the guy to name Bigfoot, your great uncle.
Well, I mean, I just spent 2.5 years writing the screenplay for his life. And my father and my other uncle logged the forests of Mount Shasta with him during that time. And this is in 1958. And he was the one that took the first plaster cast of Bigfoot in 1958. This is 9 years before the Bob Gimlin Patterson film. Okay, this is 9 years before that. And
so that Patterson famous film where he's walking through
the
woods, Carl, that was 9 years later, maybe, like, was that like late 60s, early 70s, that film then?
67. It was
67. Okay.
Yeah. And actually, my granduncle drew the map that was given to Al Hodges, who gave it to Bob Kitness, the taxidermiologist who taught Jerry how to do a plaster cast. And that's how it ended up in Bob Gimlin's hands. And that they used that map that my uncle drew, my great uncle, and found the place where they shot the very famous Patterson film. Not many people know that. But I grew up all my life hearing stories about it. And my uncle Jim, who is still alive and just the coolest uncle in the world, man. He's a Harley driving logger who ended up working for the Steinhardt Aquarium and handling poisonous snakes and saving rare birds. I mean, the guy's amazing. He gave me about 200 yellowed newspaper articles that he's been collecting all these years about the Bigfoot and Jerry Crew, along with tons of other magazines, Argosies and all these magazines that everything he's covered in. And I took that and I interviewed people that were still alive, like Peter Burns. Peter Burns, who is referred to as the Indiana Jones Don Quixote, he hunted Yeti in the Himalayas, and he was the one that was hired by Tom Slick, a very famous millionaire, very eccentric, to hire my great uncle and my other uncle Jim to hunt Bigfoot for 2 years. And I got a lot of dirt out of him. It was an honor to interview him. But, and so I've heard Bigfoot stuff all my life, and now it was just finally I'm the writer in the family, so I decided to write the screenplay, and I just finished it a couple months ago.
It's going to be a great film, Carl. I can't wait to see it. What's your take on the Patterson film? I know we've heard debates of one gentleman saying he was in a costume and it was fake, and others say no, it was fake.
I mean, no, that's totally real. The film is real. People who said, see, the costume thing is a joke because there's scientific proof as far as the muscle structure in the legs and as far as the gait of each step. It was impossible. In fact, there was a guy named John Green who was a Bigfoot hunter, and he offered $100,000 for anyone who could replicate the film, steps. And the guy, there's a guy named Ray Wallace who faked Bigfoot prints. We covered this in the film. He was like a hillbilly, but he owned the logging company. And he was so mad that Jerry Crew's fame exploded worldwide in 1958 that he could not believe it. And so he wanted in on this. So he had these prints made, and he tried to fake it. But they looked ridiculous. It was like surfer prints compared to the real thing. And but his son later on tried to collect on that $100,000, and he tied a rope to a truck and he put on these fake prints and he tried to, you know, create the gate between each step, and he got into an accident and almost killed himself. So there's plenty of proof, you know, showing that that's there's many, many scientists who say there's no way that could be a fake.
Every time I see that film, Carl, it just gives me chills when I see it. And it's interesting because the Lake Champlain – what?
They corrected the film, too, so it's not shaky. So it's absolutely still. When you see it, it's amazing.
Wow.
It's amazing.
It is.
And, you know, Bob Gimlin himself said that he had a gun when they were shooting this, when they were filming this. And somebody asked him, why didn't you shoot it? And he said, because it was too human. If it had come at me and tried to kill me, I'd shoot it. But if otherwise, no, it looked too human to me, which is exactly what we're proposing in our film, that they're human. They're not supernatural or anything. But, you know, about monsters and about creatures and, you know, lake monsters and stuff, there's only a quarter of our oceans that's ever been investigated. So three quarters is uninvestigated. It's too deep. And there's a huge history of, you know, Megalodon and all these crazy, they find new species every year of things they've never seen before. So I think that it's a very good possibility that there's something in either lake, although Nessie they just had some recent photos of Nessie, just bubbling, a long snake-like thing in the water, and it was not very clear, but once again, it was another sighting.
Yes, and there's some really great new footage of Lake Champlain Champ.
It's
interesting when this Patterson film broke, it made people more open. And just shortly after that, well, actually in the 70s, a woman named Sandra Monsi took the vacation, was on vacation. Her kids were playing. Her kids are still alive and attest to this. And they saw the Lake Champlain Sea Monster Champ, and she took a picture that became quite famous in the 70s. But I think the Patterson film, the whole Bigfoot phenomenon, caused people to be more open-minded to her photo, and kind of like the Patterson film, it became the one that really went all over the place.
Yeah, no one could prove it. Just like people have tried to disprove the Jerry Crews prints, they can't because there is dermal ridges on the print that are not on the fake prints. There is the compression of hundreds of pounds pressing into the dust that's not with the fake prints. So, yeah, there's he was the first. They call him the grandfather. But see, Bigfoot's been around for hundreds of years. You know, people say, oh, see, when Ray Wallace died, he was such a country bumpkin, he could not have survived any answers from any reporters, you know, because he told stories about UFOs and all this crazy stuff. He just was a, you know, old spinster. He lived to spin tales, I mean, like that. And so when he died, that's when his family tried to cash in on everything and say, oh, Bigfoot died. Bigfoot is dead. Our father was... He did everything. He was all the prince all over the world. It's like, not true. And the reason they timed it like that is because, you know, he would never have been able to stand up to any questions. And but we cover that once again in the film. But you know, I think about monsters. And I mean, I've always loved monsters and all my life. You know, I grew up just anything like that I was attracted to. And if you know anything about, there was a house on Loch Ness. It was Bolstein, and it was owned by Aleister Crowley. He was a Satanist, and he did a lot of really ugly stuff there. And there were people that went later to the ruins of it, and just there's just still a lot of darkness on that. So we don't know how much Nessie could be supernatural. I don't believe Bigfoot's supernatural at all. But I don't know, you know, there's some point where these entities can appear any way they want to. And, you know, I mean, that's like the whole UFO thing. They can appear like an alien. They can appear like whatever. It's like that's why in the Bible God forbade the occult. Why? Because you're opening yourself up to deception, the father of lies. Oh, well, I went to Aunt Millie's seance and I heard her voice. And I heard a little dog barking, and I smelled the perfume. I know that's her. You know, it's like these entities have been around forever. They know exactly what's just going to take to suck you in. So there's also that you have to be wary of. I mean, like my friend Ken Gearhart, man, this guy is so great. He speaks at all the Bigfoot conferences. I think he just did a book on Nessie. And he was actually on what's that weird show with William Shatner. What's weird or something like that, and he was going after Mothman. He was setting up.
I think
some,
Mothman came out of West Virginia, where my grandmother's from, if I remember right.
Right. That's where they were, and they were setting some traps. They're called they're special cameras that detect motion in the woods, and of course they didn't find anything. But he summed it up very well with his summation, which was. That the Indians there cursed the land when they died because the white man had come in, and there was a lot of evil spirits, and a lot of people couldn't go near the place because they thought it was so much evil spirits. Bing! That's exactly right. That's exactly what I believe Mothman was a demonic entity. So it's really hard when you're hunting for a demonic entity. But my uncle said, you know, demonic entities don't leave big old piles of poo in the jungle. You know what I'm saying? And they found fecal matter from Bigfoot. And they actually took some samples and sent it to Berkeley back in the day, UC Berkeley, and they were analyzed. And they said that they couldn't identify the exact species, but it's definitely carnivorous because there were little animal bones. But also there was parasites in it that were found in humans and apes. So that's the best that they could do out of that. There's also many hair samples that were unidentified and stuff. But, you know, my writing the Bigfoot script was about taking the giant legend and tearing all the garbage away and getting down to the truth of what happened. That was my goal in this. And I think we came up with a very plausible answer to what Bigfoot is. But as far as monsters are concerned, yeah, I mean, like, it could be anything, but there's definitely a lot of things that have never been seen before that are maybe trapped in these lakes. You know, you have no idea.
Yeah, and some of the cryptozoology species end up turning out to be real. Like there was a big Japanese sea serpent legend, and they end up finding it, the carcass. And what do you think about a natural explanation that it? Do you think a prehistoric species, a plesiosaur or something like that, could account for Champ and or Nessie?
Of course. I mean, they didn't find a giant panda until 100 years ago. Hello?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. You know, they didn't find that for 100 years ago. So, of course it could be. I mean, like I say, you know, the Megalodon, they said that they're extinct, but, you know, every other species in the ocean has adapted to the cooling that happened. That's what the explanation for the Megalodon perished, because of the cooling in the ocean. But, I mean, every other species did fine, so there's no reason why there can't be a Megalodon in the lower depths that have never been explored. So, you know, there's all kinds of variables. I mean, 100 years ago, all the scientists in the world stood up and said, we have discovered every single thing you could possibly imagine. Can you imagine the pomposity of that?
And yeah, 2 weeks just total later, arrogance, which
yeah,
any decent scientist
later,
yeah, any decent scientist is just like the Bible says, humility is the way, that we have to be humble,
right,
that there's so much we don't know.
Well, 2 weeks later after that, they discovered quantum physics, so they were screwed. Yeah. So I love when they're wrong. It's just like when the weatherman says the wrong weather. I just love that, because you cannot predict the weather. I'm sorry. You can do your best, but.
Yeah.
Fascinating subject, though. Yeah. I've been consumed all
well,
my
we
life.
We really miss your club. CIA is one of the funnest places. I've enjoyed performing there and shooting some of Canaan Land there. But I know with the whole vaccine, you've been on hold. Do you have any guesstimate when your great club will be reopening?
Well, I have possible booking. I have a lot of people clamoring to book right now, and I just have to make sure it's all done correctly. But I do have
right.
a penciled-in show for the 29th of this month. So we'll see what happens. But.
Okay. What's the best website or to people to keep up with your club, with you, with your appearances?
Facebook, CI Abnormal Art.
Facebook.com/CI Abnormal Arts. CI Abnormal Arts.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the CIA is capitalized.
Okay.
Yeah, we just got the replica of an anamorphic replica of the Elephant Man body, bones.
Wow.
That was taken from a 3D scan from the skeleton in London. And it was for the David Bowie Elephant Man Broadway play, and the producer donated it to the club. So we just got that.
Oh, that's wonderful. Oh, my God. My friend Michael Jackson was still alive. He'd be over there in 5 seconds to see that. Wow.
I'm telling you, my friend, guy from Off the Wall Antiques, Dennis, he used to sell to Michael Jackson all the time. He said Michael just would have freaked out at this place. I used to live a couple blocks from his main house, and I'd wave at Janet when I go by. Hey, Janet, what's up? Yeah, it's so sad. Anyway.
Yeah. And, of course, David Lynch did the great film about it.
Yep, he sure did. Gee, John Merrick. Amazing thing. And it's a very distorted skeleton, but... Yep, and I have all the old books on him, and they even bought the playbill of David Bowie. It's in a beautiful case from the 1800s. So, yeah, that was cool. That was really cool. But, yeah, I just encourage people to have an open mind when they deal with all this stuff and not to be jump to conclusions, because there's a lot of truth out there that needs to be revealed. And, and that's
what
I love to do.
Yeah, when they jump to conclusions, I think it affects how they look at evidence. Like there's a philosophy saying that if you have an a priori conclusion prior to examining the evidence, like let's say with the resurrection of Christ, if someone is a total naturalist and has an a priori conclusion that miracles can never happen and supernatural stuff doesn't happen, then they're not going to have an open mind to examine the resurrection. So like people came to the Sander Monsey's Champ photo and said, oh, it's a floating tree or it's something else. It can't possibly be a creature that we're not aware of, because that's not going to happen. So, like you say, the open mind is step number one to even talk about this stuff, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's like people who have a predisposed narrative that's called cognitive dissonance, where you already have arrived on a conclusion and there's no new information that could even affect what your situation or change your mind. It's called cognitive dissonance, and it's not good. Oh, I got to go. I got my guy here. I'm so sorry.
Okay, Carl. Well, I'm so happy that you were able to join us today, and we'll be right back, everybody, to talk a little bit more about CHAMP. God bless you, Carl, my friend.
Thank you, guys. All right. God bless you. Bye.
Carl is such a precious guy and always so interesting to talk to. We'll be right back to talk a little bit more about CHAMP. The Lake Champlain Monster.
Here's to our Lake Champlain Monster, the king of the deep and the dam. We'll sing one more chorus to our dinosaurus, that lovable creature named CHAMP.
The lovable creature named CHAMP will be our subject when we return. You can call into the phones on your screen with your questions.
I know what you're thinking. Since the phone lines are all busy, should I or shouldn't I keep calling? Well, if I were you, I'd keep trying. Go ahead and make your day.
Yes, go ahead and make your day and call the number on your screen with any questions about Bigfoot, CHAMP, any of that stuff. Maybe you have an eyewitness account of your own. And you can also email your questions in to richardrossilive@gmail.com. RichardRossiLive@gmail.com. And we'll be right back with Richard Rossi Live.
The first one to write about Champy was that traveler, Samuel Champlain. Since he wrote out that line back in 1609, lots of people have seen him again. Here's to our Lake Champlain Monster, the king of the deep and the dam. We'll sing one more chorus to our dinosaurus, that lovable creature named CHAMP. There's a fellow named Joseph Zarzynski, a man who is friendly and warm. He's proposing some laws to protect CHAMP because he is anxious to save him from harm. Here's to our Lake Champlain Monster, the king of the deep and the dam. We'll sing one more chorus to our dinosaurus, that lovable creature named CHAMP. If you should meet up with dear Champy, now I'll tell you just what to say. Look him straight in the eye and smile and say, hi, we're so glad that you've come here to stay. Here's to our Lake Champlain Monster, the king of the deep and the dam. We'll sing one more chorus to our dinosaurus, that lovable creature named CHAMP. The best place to see our dear monster is outside the Bulwega Bay Bar. After having a few, you may even see two, but then don't try to drive in your car. Here's to our Lake Champlain Monster, the king of the deep and the dam. We'll sing one more chorus to our dinosaur, that lovable creature named CHAMP. We'll sing one more chorus to our dinosaur, that lovable creature named CHAMP.
Hey, Chief, you know there's two things in this world I hate to miss. One's a Lakers game and the other's Rich Rossi Live. You gotta be cuckoo to miss this show, you know what I mean, pal? And wait till you get a load of what Rich is gonna talk about today.
Today we're talking about CHAMP. Carl also touched on Bigfoot, Nessie, other subjects of cryptozoology. And for those of you unaware, CHAMP or CHAMPY is the name of a lake monster that allegedly lives in Lake Champlain. It's a 125-mile body of fresh water, and it's shared by New York, Vermont, and a portion extends into Quebec, Canada. Friends of mine from that area have sighted Champ or had friends that have, and it goes all the way back to the Native Americans as well as to Samuel de Champlain, the founder of Quebec, and the lake was named, of course, after Samuel de Champlain. He allegedly saw it back in the 1600s, and there's been some debate over the veracity of the quotes in the journal entries regarding him seeing it. And so there were sightings over the next couple hundred years. In the 1800s, P.T. Barnum, the famous circus showman, was interested in finding Champ. But Carl mentioned the Patterson Bigfoot footage of 1967 that many of us have seen, and that created much more interest in the possibility of creatures that allegedly exist without enough evidence where science, mainstream science, accepts it. But the fact that this interest in the 60s, 70s, when I was a kid, intensified, created an interest in finding these kind of things. So a woman named Sandra Monsey, who's recently deceased, took a photo. She was on vacation. Her kids are out playing by the lake, and it's one of the best photos around. And there's a neck, a head coming out. And, you know, there's been, just like the Patterson footage, debate back and forth. Some saying a big creature wouldn't come into the shallow water towards the shore like that, where she got the picture. But, you know, I know living by the ocean out here in California that our biggest problems in terms of sharks or shark attacks tends to be in shallow water. So big sea creatures do tend to come into shallower water. And so that argument is doesn't hold water, pun intended. And there's been various footages, explorations. We've had Scott Martis on the show last week, who's been created a zoology society and is going back out this summer in the warm weather. The lake up there tends to freeze in the winter. People do ice fishing and wait for it to warm up. And so now that it's warming up again, the lake melting, there'll be some more explorations into Lake Champlain. And I predict and I believe that we'll see more footage and more photos this summer. And Scott Martis has a technique with a long pole, and it's like an extension pole he talked about last week. Like when you're painting, you know how you extend the pole. So he wants to get close enough to extend that pole and get some sort of DNA sample. It's intrigued my imagination as a creative writer, and writing a story about a young girl that believes in Champ. And we'll be going to your questions now at Richard Rossi Live, and we'll be back to see what you have to say and what you have to ask from either emails at richardrossilive@gmail.com, or you can call the number on your screen, 347-637-2379, and that is a New York number. So call it 347-637-2379 or email us at RichardRossiLive@gmail.com.
Aim for the anchors that lie in its bay. B's for the boat that slid down its way. C's for Champlain, Samuel by name. And D, he discovered this lake of great fame. Merrily, cheerily, so lucky are we. A home for to make on this bountiful lake. The islands and sunsets are always so fine, and we sung its praises since 1609. E's for the Enterprise, Benedict Arnold's flagship, and F is for freedom, he gave the British the slip. G is for grandeur of the mountain so high, and H for the heartaches for all those who die. Merrily, cheerily, so lucky are we, a home for to make on this bountiful lake. The islands and sunsets are always so fine, and and we've sung its praises since 1609. I is for the ice that cracks in the spring. J is for juniper of that island we sing. K is for Kilroy, did you know he was here? L's for the lumber stacked on Queen City's pier. Merrily, cheerily, so lucky are we, home for to make on this bountiful lake. The islands and sunsets are always so fine, and we've sung its praises since 1609. And now it's Bay where we learn to swim, and for New York State, that long western rim. Always adioso is the spirit of the lake, and P stands for Flatbird, you make no mistake. Merrily, cheerily, so lucky are we, a home for to make on this bountiful lake. The islands and sunsets are always so fine, and we sung its praises since 1609. For Quebec, that land to the north, R's Richelieu, where the rapids hold forth. S is for St. Albans, where the trains used to run, and T's Ticonderoga, also called Carillon. Merrily, cheerily, so lucky.
We'll be back in a moment with your questions.
Search, you probe, your mind, your spirit becomes weary. You find yourself on a journey to find a talk show, not just an ordinary talk show, but a Christian talk show, unlike anything the mind could fathom. Suddenly, your search comes to an end, for up ahead, there's a signpost, your next stop.
Yes, we search and we probe for proof of these different creatures, Nessie, Bigfoot, Chimp. And we'll be back to discuss your questions as you search and probe the subject. I'll be back in a few seconds to discuss your question. Thank you for tuning in. Welcome back to Rich Rossi Live, and we have a question sent in to our email from Pam in Virginia Beach. Said, you mentioned on the last show the Noah's Flood theory and how that would affect Champ being in the lake. Could you explain that theory? I'm no expert on it, but if you believe in the worldwide biblical flood, I think the theory would be that, you know, a lot of creatures would be, you know, just, you know, in those waters and could be jumbled around and end up in the lake there in Lake Champlain, or from the sea coming into the lake. People would debunk that theory or argue against that theory by saying that these are prehistoric creatures that died out long before that lake was even formed. So how could they be there? But the lake has a connection to the sea, and even more of a connection to the sea in the past. So the flood could displace the plesiosaurs that would normally not be found in that area because of Noah's flood. So I think that's the best way to answer that. I'm no expert on that, but that would be certainly a topic for discussion and further research. Let's see. Another question about the Ice Age from Bob in Burlington, Vermont. How did the Ice Age affect the possibility of Champ, Bob Trotner, Burlington? Scott Martis talked about this last week, but again, I'm not a scientist, but I think the theory is that if you had all this ice, these creatures could have been kind of under that ice you know, surviving under the water. And then when that melted, again, that frees Champ and other sea creatures to move from the sea to the lake. Another question from Mark in Las Vegas about the Monzi photograph. Could it be a tree or a log? That is one of the theories. That another theory is the sturgeon, these large fish. Some of the sightings in the videos, they say it could be sturgeon, like a mother sturgeon and a baby sturgeon, so you get they're long fish, and so you get those humps. You know, you could have a bigger hump and then a smaller hump of the baby swimming in tow behind the mother. So any kind of photographic evidence like the Monzi photograph or in Bigfoot's case, the Patterson case, there tends to usually be, just like religion or politics, a polarization and a binary of the two sides arguing, the ones arguing that it's factual and others arguing that it's not. So I think this can go a couple different ways. And, you know, you can research and read out both sides. Both sides make their case. So we'll be back with further questions. Be right back to discuss Champy, Lake Champlain. You can email your questions in to richardrossilive@gmail.com, or you can call them in to the number there on your screen, which is 347-637-2379. We'll be right back.
Here we are, a home for Jamaica on that bountiful lake. The islands and sunsets are always so fine, and we sung its praises since 1609.
These far underwater where the shipwrecks lie low,
and these for Vermont where there's life taken slow.
W is for Winooski where the onions grow green,
and X marks the spot where old Champ was last seen. Merrily, cheerily, so lucky are we, a home for Jamaica on this bountiful lake. The islands and sunsets are always so fine, and we've sung its praises since 1609.
Y is for the yachts that often sail through,
Z, Zadok, Thompson, the lake's on page 2.
Z is also for zero in the cold winter chime,
and now we have brought all our letters to rhyme. Merrily, cheerily, so lucky are we, a home for to make on this bountiful lake. The islands and sunsets are always so fun, and we've sung its praises since 1609.
Oh, that accordion reminds me of my dear mother who plays the accordion. And she used to play the polkas on the accordion like that. And we'll be right back to read your questions and discuss Champ a little bit further. Thank you for tuning in to Richard Rossi Live.
See, I don't mean to bother you, Dom, but it's a mystery to me why it took so long to get this show on the air. It suddenly ties up all the loose ends with Christian talk. Gee, my wife just loves this show, Doc.
Well, I'm glad your wife likes it, Columbo. Call the number on your screen with your questions.
I know what you're thinking. Since the phone lines are all busy, should I or shouldn't I keep calling? Well, if I were you, I'd keep trying. Go ahead and make your day.
Go ahead and make your day and send your questions in to us at Richard Rossi Live. Or you can call them in at 347-637-2379. 347-637-2379. We're discussing Champ, the sea monster, although we don't really like to call him a monster. We love Champ, and let's just say a yet-to-be-fully-documented creature. How's that? The legend dates back to Samuel de Champlain, the founder of Quebec, the lake named after him. And it really took off with the Sandra Monsi photograph. Her children are still alive. Scott Martis, who's been a premier researcher, said that he's even talked to them and is friends with them, and they've confirmed the story that they were playing there when she got that famous photograph. This is summer. The lake will be melting and nice warm weather, and Port Henry is a little village there that has the Champ Day on the first Saturday of every August. They have a big giant model of Champ, and he's the mascot for Vermont's minor league baseball team, the Vermont Lake Monsters. And so Champ is very well known and very beloved, and there's a lot of evidence starting to come in that you can make up your mind about. People argue it both ways. So back to your questions. Here's a question coming in from Rick Mattson, Los Alamitos. Are Nessie and Champ the same creature? I've heard people talk about Champ as a plesiosaur, and it does seem to have a similar look with the long neck. Scott Martis described it as a turtle-like head. The sightings just have very similar descriptions. I guess we don't really know that for sure until we have more documentation on both of them, what the relationship would be. It is interesting to think about a prehistoric creature surviving all this time, isn't it? That's one of the arguments that mainstream science makes against it, is all these creatures died out millions of years ago, so how could it have survived in a lake that's thousands of years old if they died out millions of years ago? But some of the cryptozoology findings have ended up being proven, you know, years later. I mean, we talked about the Japanese water serpent that everyone thought was just a myth, and then they ended up finding a carcass. So once in a while, these things prove to be true. You know, people make the argument, why don't we see corpses of these things? Because if Champ's been spotted and, you know, people have written about it since the 1600s, unless the creature has a lifespan of over 400 years, then the only way for this to be possible is there's a multiplying population having baby Champs and that there's more than one. So how come we never see? But, you know, as Carl said at the outset of the show, the vast majority of our water on Earth has not been explored. There's many aspects of this Earth we haven't quite even plumbed. And God's creation is so abundant and prolific that just think about God creating all these different underwater life and, you know, things at the top of mountains that we haven't even explored yet. He's so creative, the master artist, that we may not even plummet the depths of all the things God's created, you know. Einstein said the little bit that we know is like a kindergarten student compared to the knowledge of the world. So humility is in order, right? As the scripture says, humility, humble yourself and you will be exalted. So I think we have to humbly realize we don't know everything. We haven't seen everything. There's much that God has created we haven't even explored yet. And, you know, I think it's really good to keep a childlike curiosity in all things. Childlike curiosity about spiritual matters and scientific matters. And I think every good scientist, that's the primary prerequisite, is they're curious. They don't know. They want to know. They want to ask why. They have questions they want to ask. So, and I appreciate all your questions also about Champ. Another question is, now that cell phones are available and almost everyone can shoot footage, how come we're not seeing more? Well, we are seeing more. On Scott Martis' site, he actually has been putting up more and more videos of people shooting and filming what they claim to be Champ. What was that site? Oh, it's the Lake Champlain Zoological Inquiry. You could Google that, Lake Champlain zoological inquiry, and it's, you know, at least a half dozen videos, if I remember, and some of them are recent, shot on cell phones. But yes, that is an excellent, excellent point. And that is from Todd Belbick, who's from the Canada side, Quebec. I think the likelihood of getting more pictures and footage with cell phones of any cryptozoology claims should be increasing now that more and more people have a camera right with them all the time. It's not like, you know, Sandra Monsey happened to have one of those old-fashioned, I think it was an Instamatic or something camera when her kids were playing on the lake, and so that was just so amazing, that shot she got in 1977, or the shaky Patterson footage in 67 of Bigfoot, which it's shaky, but they've done some remarkable editing recently to kind of straighten that out, straighten out the shakes. But now, who knows? Who knows? This summer with the warm weather, maybe we'll get even more pictures and more footage. Anyways, we'll be right back to some final words and questions about CHAMP. God bless, and stay with us.
If you're ever in Upper New York State, whether to live or to camp, if you watch carefully, perhaps you may see that handsome lake monster called CHAMP. Here's to our Lake Champlain monster, the king of the deep and the dam. We'll sing one more chorus to our dinosaurus, that lovable creature named CHAMP. We see him come out in the springtime, as soon as the lake is unfroze. He gives us a scare, popping up here and there, after his long winter doze. Here's to our Lake Champlain monster, the king of the deep and the dam. We'll sing one more chorus to our dinosaurs, that lovable creature named CHAMP. Now CHAMP is a famous attraction. Oh yes, he sure is a tourist delight. They come up in droves to examine our coves and take pictures by day and by night. Here's to our Lake Champlain monster, the king of the deep and the dam. We'll sing one more chorus to our dinosaurus, that lovable creature named CHAMP. The first one to write about CHAMPy was that traveler, Samuel Champlain. Since he wrote out that line back in 1609, lots of people have seen him again. Here's to our Lake Champlain monster, the king of the deep and the dam. We'll sing one more chorus to our dinosaurus, that lovable creature named CHAMP. There's a fellow named Joseph Zarzynski, a man who is friendly and warm. He's proposing some laws to protect CHAMP because he is anxious to save him from harm. Here's to our Lake Champlain monster, the king of the deep and the dam. We'll sing one more chorus to our dinosaurus, that lovable creature named CHAMP. If you should meet up with dear CHAMPy, now I'll tell you just what to say. Look him straight in the eye and smile and say, hi, we're so glad that you've come here to stay. Here's to our Lake Champlain monster, the king of the deep and the dam. We'll sing one more chorus to our dinosaurus, that lovable creature named CHAMP. The best place to see our dear monster is outside the Bulwega Bay Bar. After having a few, you may even see two, but then don't try to drive in your car.
If, that's a true story, too, by the way. A lot of sightings from the Bulwega Bay Bar, but we have a lot of sane and sober sightings as well.
Listen here, Pilgrim, and what's the good? Why don't you mosey on over and set that down a rich rusty life? When it comes to Christian talk, he'll wrestle you up a show with true grit, uh-huh.
Rich rusty.
Rich Rossi Live. We've been discussing cryptozoology, Bigfoot, Champ, and Nessie, different things like that. We've been particularly focused on Champ today. Our guest Carl Crew had some really interesting things to say. If you missed the first half hour of the show, it'll be good for replay as soon as we conclude this broadcast. What are some other evidence that people have claimed for Champ? And that is a question from Nancy in Erie, Pennsylvania. We have, there are video shot. There's, of course, the famous Santramonsi photograph. There have been claims of recordings of sound since 2003. That was part of a Discovery Channel program. They say the sounds are similar to those produced by whales or dolphins, neither of which are known to live in Lake Champlain. Also, some have claimed a mysterious alligator tracks. Although Scott Martis, who was our guest last week, says he thinks the tracks were more likely a large snapping turtle. He also mentions the long-nosed gar, an alligator-like creature, or the lake sturgeon, the long fish that they're, when they swim in the water, it does look like a couple humps in the water. So some people think some of the humps, the pictures of humps in the water, could be these long sturgeons. So there has been a lot of other evidence, Nancy, and of course it's debated both ways. Thank you for emailing in your questions today to Richard Rossi Live. It's been a lot of fun to talk about Champ with you today, and I hope you'll keep tuning in, follow the show. We also, once a month, this broadcast is a part of Eternal Grace Church, and we have a live worship service to encourage you in these challenging times. So our broadcast, which is typically a talk show, more recently in COVID times, has also functioned as a church service, an online church service, to encourage you once a month with some spiritual helpful information to keep your head on straight and grounded spiritually. Well, thank you for tuning in today. It's been a wonderful hour, and I'm glad that we got to talk about the wonderful sea serpent, Champ or Champy, the sea monster of Lake Champlain. Feel free to share this link with your friends. It'll be good in perpetuity. And go with God and be blessed. Thank you for listening to Richard Rossi Live.